modern need. And finally, I found somebody who fit perfectly. You're everything that I dreamed you'd be. And I'll be what you need, 'cause I'm playing for keeps, baby.
Unofficial audition for Obama Dog.
If it's a dream, don't pinch me, baby. Could you let me sleep? As long as I see your face, I don't want to be awake. I count sheep forever if you promise me. You're never changing. Your love remains the same no matter what the day may bring. I'm here to stay, whatever comes.
Good afternoon. You have reached the NCWCC Blog Talk Radio Show. We are airing live in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and today is January 14th, 2009. And the topic for today, and will be for the remainder of the month, of this month of 2009, well, my correction. For the next, this show and probably the end of the month show is NCWCC Trim Campaign and A Dollar for Change. I wanted to welcome everybody to the show, and the description of this is transforming transparency, reform, information, and measuring. And I always tell people that, interestingly enough, I do so much during the course of the day, I never have an opportunity to prepare for a show. It always comes together within the hour or two. And realistically, we have one of our guests that's coming on today is a part of a tremendous level of transparency that she is trying to raise some consciousness in the community. Her name is Ann Batt. She is with Operation Restoration. In terms of being able to do research and development, an arm of the National Comprehensive Foreclosure Disaster and Relief Plan, which is executed on a national level. She will be on shortly. And it's interesting that a lot of us are walking around and trying to decide on some ventures that we might want to enter into. And I want to welcome everybody to the call today. Welcome, callers.
Yeah.
Hi, this is
Hi.
Henrietta in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Gary. Okay. We have a caller from 952.
How old is he? Is he single?
Can somebody mute their phone that's talking in the background?
Yeah, I need to do that.
Okay. Interesting enough, we...
Is he available?
Mute the phone, Karina.
Okay. Very good. Okay, so what I wanted to do is go over... what the situation is regarding the foreclosure and being able to have transparency. As I said before, Ann Batt, her mission is to restore homes, restore lives, restore hope. Basically, they offer 24-hour availability of trained counselors who ministers and collect information refers trusted partners for resolution and track progress until closure. They bring communities together to support, counsel, and service to restore hope to our fellow families and protect our economy from disaster. Respect every individual who needs help. Remembering hardship in some form affects everyone at least once. Fear attacks the mind, but the Spirit of God wins. Now, what I did was I read the mission statement for regarding ANBAT with Operation Restoration, and like to welcome Ms. Bat to the call. Welcome, Ms. Bat.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Great. I truly appreciate our fearless leader, Michelle, for taking a moment to allow us to have a forum regarding something that is absolutely serious and detrimental to this entire economy. And, you know, and just speaking with you, I saw that we had a tremendous opportunity to work in providing what we thought ideally was what was a part of our TRIM campaign, and being able to be to provide transparency to this endeavor that everybody is affected by, basically. I love the concept. We're hoping to expand on this and bringing this more to a visibility to on a national level. So we want to welcome you to at least provide the most important thing to everybody, which is knowledge about what's going around them. So if you do not mind, talk about the research and development portion of what we were discussing today. And I just got a kind of an excerpt of a lot of stuff that we talk about. But please, tell us what you've been doing for the last few years in the battling crime and corruption.
That's right. It's right, the Batwoman. My last name is Bat. So anyway, thank you so much. As a real estate broker in 2004, I was working with a very charitable investor. And when he'd run into people that were in foreclosure trouble, he would send them over. And that's how I learned how to interact with the banks. Now, the environment has changed considerably since 2004. In March of 2008, I had a vision. It was really strange. I woke up one day, I turned on the TV, and 2,000 foreclosures were going on the steps in Fulton County, Georgia alone, one day. And I turned off the TV set and I went, that's it. And at that point, Operation Restoration, the mission, was born. Now, I'm not the creator. I'm just one that placed it on paper. I actually didn't understand it at first. There was a whole flow chart and systematic process of foreclosure prevention. I just put it on paper, flow charted it, took it to the Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank president, and he wrote back. And I thought, well, now maybe there is something to this. So we started following the system. And it sounds very robotic, but it's not. It involves a case management system whereby, and by the way, every single operative for this national disaster relief plan is in place.
Okay.
Right now. It can be implemented right now.
Okay.
All the federal government and the legislators and the nation's leaders and the Secretary of the Treasury and the FDIC, they're all the components. They have to get together, roll their sleeves up, and connect the dots. And it's not that hard. So we wrote a white there. The plan is in Washington, in somebody's hands, but that's the problem, is finding out the right hands. But the way this works is we have to build in accountability into the system. And it starts with a case management intake. So we've got a front-end group of people taking in information. Now, you notice that you hear snippets of where to call for help, but there is not a national movement that is educating on where to call for help. If the country was indeed very, very concerned. Wouldn't you think it would be on every single news station, every single whatever? Now, there's little bits on websites and et cetera, and little by little, you know, letters are going out. But guess what? Because of the way everything has happened and the scammers out there and the lack of response from lenders and the system being broken, all that combined is resulting in people not trusting. Exactly. It is also resulting in people becoming mentally paralyzed. There's something about your the loss of shelter. Now, we can go without clothes because we've got clothes. And we can go without food because anybody could get on a corner and get some change and get some food.
Right.
There's something about losing one's shelter. And that is the major challenge. People don't trust because they've been burned. And there's not a national, cohesive, comprehensive effort under one umbrella where they can trust that they're going to be handled. So the way to do that, and that's what we've been doing on a small scale, is to have a system of information intake. And then we pass it to the counselors that are already being paid by Congress to be the direct interface with the lenders. It is far too hard to do foreclosure prevention without specialties. It would be like Karima, you know, Hurricane Katrina?
Right.
It would be like you taking, let's say that you and I and Michelle were responsible components of the Hurricane Katrina effort. All right, Karima, you take temporary shelter, and you become accountable for taking care of everybody in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take clothing to make sure people are clothed, and Michelle's going to take food. Each one of us has to be accountable for our particular operation, and we still have to be accountable for effectively interacting with each other because every single person needs every single thing.
Exactly.
Okay? This is the same thing. While it is currently, we're doing all of this, it is not efficient for one person or one counselor to do all of foreclosure prevention. It is simply too much. It takes us 20 plus hours per case because we are doing it with a broken system and trying to do everything.
And interestingly enough, we mentioned that HUD pretty much monitors and looks down at all, have been looking at this for some years now, and
mm-hmm.
has had no means or no will to try to bring any intervention into this. And
okay.
so
mm-hmm.
I guess if it was done properly, as you said, there will be a specialty level, and then it would be somebody that is paid for intake to do that, and then it should be somebody for resolution. But that's the point that's been missing is resolution.
Exactly,
right?
And accountability. Now,
accountability.
This is, and I'm careful because this is being recorded, but this is the way, this is what the
Federal
Reserve Bank has the Hope Now Alliance on all their websites. The mailers have gone out to borrowers to call the Hope Now Alliance. All the Hope Now Alliance is a group of HUD counseling agencies that raised their hand and said, I want part of that $180 million that Congress is handing out each year because we want to be in the foreclosure prevention game. Now, they've received training. Foreclosure prevention can only be handled in two ways. One is loan restructuring or loan refinancing. I categorize that one way.
Okay.
Or house sale. How in the world, Karima, can a HUD counseling agency restructure the loan with the bank if someone's lost a job?
Begin.
They can't. And yet they're being paid by Congress for intake.
But not
There's
resolution.
One hole.
Not
There's
resolution.
One hole.
Mm-hmm. But not resolution. Gotcha.
Right. Okay. So the National Foreclosure, the Comprehensive Foreclosure Disaster Relief Plan sets out standards and procedures. So you have a centralized intake, which the case manager is going to follow it all the way through the line. Now, let's say that somebody has lost a job, and you know that we're going on a high percentage of people now that are losing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Procedure. These are all procedures that can be easily put into place. Procedure
exactly.
Number one.
Uh-huh.
Stop the foreclosure for 2 months. Send them to a job placement assistance. Now, Obama's already talking about job placement assistance, so that's going to be in place, I think, I hope.
Yes.
Okay, send them to a job placement assistance. We are doing that right now, so we're writing the resumes and we're providing the assistance so they get the jobs and they get back into, you know, a workable solution for the banks.
Okay.
Okay, that's one operative, job placement, that has to be in this economy. The other one is, what happens when a veteran comes home and he's shut down? We've had those too, and he can't work, and there's something that's getting away. They've got a lot of stress, all of that. So we've been taking them to the veterans area, and to get them back into motion, to get a job, to get back into the workplace. What happens with those credit cards that people, because they had lost jobs temporarily, or there was something, medical bills? They've been paying with their credit cards, so they missed a credit card payment or whatever, or the credit card payments now are so high. So interest rates have gone from 8 to 29%. There's got to be an operative that primarily, and does, we already have that, works on credit rate adjustment back down to the 8%. That has to be, because that is a part of your monthly expense. The other thing is scams. How many people have been scammed? Fraud. So there's got to be a scam investigative unit. Then the lastly is noncompliance. What if a lender is not treating someone like he treated the other person? We are supposed to be in a nation of liberty and justice for all, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Right now, we are the primary service provider for foreclosure prevention for Georgia, the Georgia Attorney General, Thurbert Baker. He wrote us an explanation. He said this could easily be implemented, that attorney generals cannot tell national banks how to operate. But this can be legislative. One solution to this problem would be concurrent enforcement authority between the federal and state governments. Such an approach would, of course, require sign-off by the appropriate federal agency. This is not a new concept. It's been done.
It's just not been operating.
Well, that is actually, according to him, this is not a new concept, given that in many federal consumer laws, state AGs or other state agencies have been granted concurrent jurisdiction, just not in the bank part, not in the lender's arena.
Okay.
So, but do you see why, if just simply put, if we could just set up a systematic, if Karima, I've lost my job, so Karima, you're going to give me 2 months to get a job before you foreclose. And that's what we've been doing. We'll ask for forbearance, which is that is the same thing as a stay or a temporary hold. So we'll ask for a forbearance from the lender to give people a chance to get a job. But you've really, this is a system where you've got to know what to ask for, because the lender is not going to volunteer it.
Right. And you guys have a flow chart that
yes.
you've developed. You said you do it on a small scale system, but you've developed a flow chart and a white paper for the legislators.
Right.
You also have somebody, you also have a senator, right? You have one U.S. senator as well as the attorney general that has stated that they would take cases by referrals?
Yeah. Well, they're sending all of their referrals over to us.
Okay. All right.
And they also sent a chief of staff to us to listen to, and he asked us, because we can't put that out on the airwaves where the corruption and the holes are. Of course, I could show it to him, but I couldn't, you know, I couldn't pass it to him.
Well, what's interesting is that for the rest of the callers, this is why I think this has all been God-given, that the Trim campaign is about transparency, reform, information, and measuring. So I think that's why it's so interesting that if we can move in that level of government, and one thing we have to do is make people accountable, like you just
yes.
said. And when you have accountability, then you're looking at a whole different slew of individuals. Because if you just like the example that you utilized with me, Michelle, and yourself with Katrina, there has to be a measuring device, as you just stated, to allow people to just automatically, as if they had to, call the police. Everybody knows that they commit a crime, something's happening, who they call. So
exactly.
We have to have a policing system, I guess, is what you're is pretty much the transparency level. The
mm-hmm.
reform, do you believe that the reform, do you think that this, that's already in place, because what I'm understanding is that everything has been in place, but nobody is executing it to the level in which the common consumers are not being able to understand that these opportunities, these vehicles are there, these devices are there for them.
Right.
Is the reform, is there, should there be any reform? Because what you've done is just charted out something that's common. I don't believe it. I think it took a lot of creativity to chart out this flow chart.
Well, like I said, it has to be a system of standard procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one piece that I failed to say, and this is, and this came in, I was in church actually, and this one came in real loud and clear. Get the 30 lenders. There's only like 30 because the small ones have been eaten up by the big ones.
Exactly.
Get the 30 lenders or so into one room. What in the world? Get the presidents and the CEOs. And get this on a humanistic level, and let's figure out a standard set of procedures, because everybody is doing it differently. That makes our job hard as an intermediary working between the borrower and the lender.
Mm-hmm.
It is, we are, that's why it's taking us 20 plus hours. They have no response time commitments. Everybody's answering in a different way. There's, for example, resolutions are anywhere from repayment plans where you're making me pay back $8,000 in 2 weeks. You know, that's a repayment plan. It doesn't make any sense. You know, and then to others that are being more lenient, that are giving, instead of 8%, they're giving, I think our latest was 5.25% from Countrywide. But they're all different. So let's figure out a fair way to assess everything so that we're not back and forth and back and forth. So lenders, figure it out, and then let's follow it.
I think that, wasn't this a part of the deregulations when everything started getting deregulated a lot? When you have deregulation, you have ambiguous rules and you know, there's no clarity. And so when there's no clarity, there's no way of measuring who does what.
The other thing that you got the problem of is that the lenders don't own their own property anymore. Only 12% are lender-owned. They have been sold off to investors. So it's in the investor market. So your loan is in little pieces in somebody's portfolio. So then it's hard to find out. Well, there's two problems. There's hard to find out who you talk to. Have you ever seen The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
Okay, literally, the lender servicer, and we call it a servicer, that's a glorified term for a collection agent. The lender servicer takes the paperwork, trots over to the wizard that's behind the black curtain, ask what he wants to do, and trots back and gives us the answer. We have no clue who we're talking to.
It was done on purpose. I think hopefully with the new HUD director that's been appointed, you know, there's new ears, there's new eyes, there's new individuals on the Hill. So a lot of that, I believe, is going to go away. But as I mentioned to you today, we've partnered up with the U.S. Chamber, I'm sorry, the U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce, Margaret Dordorf, and they have, they're very interested in the Trim campaign that, you know, just no one understood that when the construction industry crashed, everything else was going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's what we discussed earlier today. It's the actual foundation of any civilization. So when
mm-hmm.
construction becomes to a halt, and that's because of different regulations that, you know, we did, you know, if you're doing some things out there and there's no one to call and state that I didn't get paid as contractors, a lot of people started going out of business because they did residential work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they placed a lien on the project, right? Then
right.
the investor would buy the lien off of the project, sell the house. You would try to go to the bank and tell the bank, well, look, I'm owed $60,000-$70,000, and the bank said we can't do anything about it, so that there's nobody that was policing our industry.
Mm-hmm.
So those people who were contractors who were living in these houses that were making those mortgages had employees.
Mm-hmm.
And when those contractors went out of business or went under and could not survive, guess what? Those employees could not pay their mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So it was it's been a trickle-down effect involved in it. And the last thing I wanted to talk to you about is that we talked about, interestingly enough, of how to get this message out. You know, when you holler loud, you hit people throw up shields. They raise their shields and they become combative. I think the forms that we have make it very quite clear that the more information that's placed out here in the public eye, the more you're able to become visible to what your calling is, if that makes
mm-hmm.
any sense.
It makes great sense.
And I think that with the callers that are on, I wanted to welcome somebody that I had not talked to since last year, area code 770-962. Nicole? Hello? All right. Guess she dropped off. No, I guess she's still there. She's on the call. She probably has me on mute. But anyway, wanted to welcome her to the call. And wanted to welcome Henrietta. She's in New York, to the call.
I'm sorry, Karima, you were on mute because, you know, I'm handling a million things. But, yeah, hey, hello, everybody.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Henrietta. We want to welcome you to the call. I'm glad everybody.
This is so awesome. I have got to get your number because this is the information we need.
Henrietta.
Well, you can thank God for that.
This is wonderful.
The Henrietta, to kind of let everybody know, she is from the Atlanta area, and she was with the legislative for 12 years and is returning back, and she's also a practicing attorney as well, and will be part of the co-host for the health and wellness shows that will be aired here each once a month on Wednesday. So we want to thank you for calling in. And,
of course, taking
a very good look at what we're trying to do with this transparency level. I think, really, one thing I saw is that you said the challenge is do they really care enough and to connect the dots? You know, the folks who didn't care, I think they're on their way out the door. Or they're going to have to either come into a reform level or that they need to do their job. Somebody has to remind them that there's a job that they're taking this how much money did they get, $180 million?
They're getting ready to give $350 billion more out to the lenders. You know, the first $350 billion went to the wrong utilization. So
yeah, somebody went to the Bahamas, right, or to
That was AIG.
AIG, yeah.
They hoarded it, and they bought other banks, and they also, by the way, they lowered their employee count, so that makes it harder for us to even get in touch with anybody. So they did everything that was detrimental to foreclosure prevention.
Okay. Right. So, well, that's I never heard of such a thing. You get the money to bail you out, and then you lay everybody off.
And they also now Obama in the next 15 days after the transition takes place is I think going to hand the banks another, or he's looking at it. But I would like to have this plan sent in some kind of video form or whatever you say. I would love to hear from the callers. How do we get this to Washington to explain a comprehensive plan that is accountable and makes the lenders accountable?
Ladies? Henrietta, I'll let you chime in on that one.
Well, the key, of course, is working with the people in Congress. And they also, someone approached me about getting some kind of foreclosure relief in the Georgia legislature, but it's here already. And so, I mean, we can get it done if that's necessary, particularly given the position of the Attorney General. But it's about, you know, identifying congresspeople and doing a grassroots program. I mean, President Obama has given us the blueprint for getting whatever we want to do with a grassroots campaign. And we just need to, as you say, follow the dots.
Mm-hmm. We did talk to a videographer today that was willing to come down and film a 3-minute segment just as a teaser. I am not very good. I know how to stop foreclosure. And by the way, we have a 100% record. But I am not quite sure what little bullet points are important or will get to the hearts of these legislators. So I would appreciate some coaching.
Sure, that would be fine. I mean, if I can get your number.
By the way, it is. I'll go ahead and give that out if that's okay, Karima. It's 404-963-1082.
And let me have your full name.
It's Ann, A-N-N-E.
Mm-hmm.
Last name is Batt, B like boy, A-T-T-E.
Okay. Do you have a website?
It is. We had a website that was developed in March of 2008 when it first started. As you well know now, you know how you get clarification through practice? I'm having to completely revamp that website.
Okay.
At this point, it's Operation Restoration Home. It's a long one. OperationRestorationHome.org. Does not have any information on it. It will be OperationRest.org. OperationRest.org.
So when is that going up?
That'll be about a week. And it will have everything, all the documents, everything on there.
So now I can give people this website?
I would prefer that you give the phone number and the email address, which is hope@operationrest.org.
Okay.
And then I'll take them through if you know of anyone needing foreclosure prevention. But also I'm going to try my hardest in the next few days to get the major portion of this foreclosure prevention up.
What we also want to do is some of the techniques that we have learned in the past is to have sign-on letters supporting your initiative. And so with that sign-on, we will do is pass it amongst the entire network of women organizations that we are affiliated with. So therefore, you take that letter and electronically send it to some of our peers in D.C. To have a roll call of individuals who are it's not just a far cry, but it's business owners who are coming together in forums like this to state that okay, you want us to take this money and ignite the economy, but when, like you said, if a person does not have a place to stay, some place for shelter, He is very vulnerable. He is not trying to hear the call in which you're trying to bring to order. You know, the main thing is protecting our environment and being able to be clearly protected with, in a house. I mean, everybody needs a place to stay. Like you said, clothes we can get, food we can get, but shelter. I mean, even the cavemen knew to run into a cave. So, you know, but when you look at Atlanta, somebody told me this the other day. Look at Atlanta and look at all the development that you see. Beautiful rising buildings. But guess what? Nobody's in those apartments. Nobody are in those condos. Nobody in these houses. And we have a whole lot of homeless people. But yet there's nothing in place to try to put those individuals into those houses. And the reason why they want them, don't want them in the houses is because of greed, mm-hmm. about the way they padded their pockets. Mm-hmm. I myself can also be very direct about everything I say, because the one thing about the coalition is that we're not funded by anyone that mm-hmm. that tells us what to do. But we have to look at the reform of the government itself. So you can send a piece of paper to someone, and if they're in the worst, you know, moment in their lives, they're just going to take it and dump it in the garbage can. So we've built some alliances strategically. Strategic alliances are what we're talking about. That's another solution. We've had some very tremendous callers, and we've had some very large women that are in business to be a part of the show that since it's been running for the last several months. And a lot of people really do not understand the magnitude of being able to be able to have a transformed transparency in government, transparency mm-hmm. in our businesses and in the way that we do business, mm-hmm. And information. I think this was God sent. We talked about.
And there's something in here. You're going to take something up to school in the morning because I ain't running on school in the morning.
Okay. We talked about a method that was about Esther in the Bible, and you said that you like that method in which she operated in that way, and we don't need to run around and be like the, what is it, the other organization?
PICA Network. Mm-hmm. Because Washington, anytime you raise your sword to battle somebody, they raise theirs and their shields. And, you know, you can pick at Washington and you can do things to get immediate attention, but when you go away, not you, but I mean when an organization that's really battling Washington instead of trying to work with them, when they go away, Washington just shakes their heads like, Esther, I think, did the best in that Esther in the Bible was that she became liked and she was able to reform because she came with solutions and she was liked.
I want to welcome caller from 678-651. Welcome, caller.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, welcome, caller from 404-554.
Hello, this is Ed.
Okay, thank you for calling in. And I wanted to share with everybody, this is a live recorded show, so if you have some background noise, please mute your phone so that this particular show is the start of our campaign for transparency and reform and information. And if you listen to Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, I guess we can say that now almost, but once you listen to him, he keeps his mission is transparency, reform. We came up with information and measuring. So that's how we came up with this TRIM campaign. And to be able to provide a synergy of individuals who are looking to promote change and then become the change. And that's our mission statement as the coalition, is that we have a charge to keep and that we want to become a part of the change that's coming in America. And it's going to come quickly. A lot of people think it's going to be slow. But when you've lost so much, somebody used to tell me that the person that is most committed is the man that's at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to just kind of bring that to light, and I wanted to take just a moment and welcome the other additional callers that are on. And if anybody has any questions for Ann, please feel free to ask any questions. Okay.
Well, I'm certainly going to call.
Okay. I'm going to take a minute here. I want everybody to sit back for a second, and we're going to take a little 30-second break. Callers. I think I'm getting into the hang of being a host on the show. I wanted to talk to everybody in reference to the quietness that's on the phone tonight. I know that the round robin, how many people on the call know of at least one person that this foreclosure has impacted? I'm going to ask this, just tell me, do they know, I tell you what, 10 people, out of 10 people, how many people do you know that this has impacted? Everybody.
A lot.
Okay, so this is very, very, very powerful to have the type of information that has been relayed out here. The purpose for our wanting to bring Miss Bat on. One of them just jumped on the phone. I want to welcome caller from 404-246. Hello, Michelle.
Hello.
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 Oh, no, I thought this was Michelle. I'm sorry. You don't sound like Michelle to us. Welcome to the caller call. Welcome to the call.
How you doing?
All right, wonderful. Okay. I thought that was Michelle. She changed her voice on us, didn't she, Ann?
I know. I think you were thinking 274.
Oh, 274. Okay. Okay. But we know how many folks this thing has impacted, and it's impacted our whole economy. I mean, when people you see that crime has went up tremendously as a result of folks are just walking in banks and just just have absolutely lost it. It is a very past unfortunate thing. It's something that we must do as individuals who have a higher consciousness to be able to sit in and be involved in forums that can get the word out to to people that are in need. The one thing that I am going to do until you get your site up is that we will add a link to some information from our site addressing people towards your email address until you get your site up. And then
All right.
We're hoping that you'll be able to get more than that, just a videographer that's going to be, which is Mario Coleman, who is our director of multimedia program for the coalition. He'll be coming in to try to assist you with that as well. And building networks and social capital. Social capital networks build human capital networks. And with human capital networks, you're able to reach out to financial capital networks. And I always encourage people to go to our website, which is ncwcc.org, to be able to allow yourselves an opportunity to see in your own mind all the programs and all the different information that we provide for individuals. So, Ann, I didn't want to hold you up a little bit further. I was going to tell you something that I had read in USA Today when it came down to female executives. They said toward a clear vision, and I think this reminds me of yourself and some of the women that are still on the call. Female executives, no matter how brilliant and successful, may be lagging behind their male counterparts in envisioning the ability to develop a strategic direction for the enterprise. A study in the January edition of Harvard Business Review says researchers at INSEAD in France suggest that female executives who have mastered the minute way of going up the ladder must rely more on conceptual skills when they reach the top. So I think you got to the top of your game, and you came up with a wonderful concept to chart this. Now, I would love to also provide everybody with the information regarding the flow chart that you have, because as you said, without the flow chart, it's a comprehensive one, and those steps are pretty much taught through the flow chart.
That's correct.
Okay.
And I can do – that's actually a PDF file, so I can have that available.
Okay. So what we'll do is we will most definitely pull together a system where folks can come back to this call and define what they need to do in supporting your efforts on a grassroots level. But in the same token, I'm sure we're going to talk with Michelle and get a very – clear target of working with the 500,000 women that are part of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, because again, the type of oversight that's been going on in the last 8 to 10 years or better is done on purpose, because we just don't have anybody that has any real directives when it comes down to consciousness. Some of these people, I don't even understand how they sleep at night.
Well, see, right now we're in a situation where we're thwarting suicides, and that takes us into an arena where you just never would think that would be something you'd encounter. But we've had to pull family members in because the people are so shut down, they can't even think. It's like that deer in headlights where it's just they're just completely stopped in the road, and very sad. And, in fact, one of the recent referrals from the Attorney General's office said, if you can't save my house, I am going to kill myself.
You know, this is a time that we were able to reflect when a lot of us were not even accustomed to living in $300,000, $200,000, or $80,000 homes. I think our society has become very spoiled and over inundated with the true meaning of what it is to love God first. And I think what I understand is that there has to be a self-love there for yourself in order to visualize yourself as a person that may have lost it everything. I'm not a Bible quoter. Hello? Hello? Okay.
I just wanted to make you aware of that, because it is very serious.
It is. I mean, it's to the point that I feel that just, you know, we have a bad means of communicating right now. That's a lack of a better word. I think that the one thing I like about talking with Henrietta is that she has a world of knowledge and a wealth of resources around the country. Henrietta, I think I got your information that you sent. I thank you for that.
Okay, good, great.
If you basically looked at this thing from a different standpoint, what would be another way of outside of grassroots that would be able to start this situation for her outside of what we are able to do?
You're asking me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I think what you mentioned earlier about the having a letter that's signed on by all these different groups, and then having I don't know, I guess I'm just a grassroots person. You know, that's where things get done. But I know that, for example, there is a national conference of black state legislators, and the president of that organization happens to be a legislator in Georgia. And so by talking with him, that will get the word out to all of the states. I understand that Congressman Hank Johnson, who is from Atlanta, is very interested in this area and quite accessible. So we can get, you know, we can get that done. As soon as I get the information, I'm going to forward it to Concerned Black Clergy. There are other organizations around that deal with people in foreclosure every day and don't know where to turn. So, and I'm sorry, but you're going to be swamped.
Well,
more.
It was really strange, Henry. We were on a press conference that aired, and I know, although we're going to help anybody that becomes, that's what we do, and we're going to do our best. And we've got it kind of systematized, so it just takes so long, and our manpower is slim. Because it wasn't meant to be, quote-unquote, an organization. I really, truly think it was supposed to be a campaign to
mm-hmm.
execute on a national level. However, we have been able to manage all the workflow. But that's why, concurrently, I would really, really appreciate the coaching and the help to get it out to the national level, because it is a top-down approach. This particular thing is a top-down approach.
Well, I'm going to call. How soon can I call you?
Oh, as soon as possible. I work until 11 o'clock at night, because we deal with California as well, which is 3 hours behind.
Okay. Well, I will call you, and we can just make a plan under the leadership of the, you know, national coalition to really go to the top, go to these congresspeople, go to agency, you know, wherever we have to go.
Okay.
Because that's what I do. You know, I've also worked as a lobbyist, and it's about knowing the pressure points.
Mm-hmm.
In the
well,
system.
I appreciate that, because I, like I said to Karima, I've been kind of in a hole and working like a mole almost. And I am actually a very social person, but I've been very focused on this, and this was what was put on my heart. The rest of it, I will follow anybody's lead, because I don't know how to do it.
You know,
it's not hard. It's not hard.
Yeah,
trust me.
When you come up with something that impacts the multitude, got to give you that vehicle. It'd be so simple. You'll just look up, and the next thing you know, you're like, okay. Because I think it should turn into a campaign. I think it should be leveraged as a campaign to raise awareness and to raise monies for additional counselors and additional individuals to help and support you, or to, i.e., put support levels around the actual comprehensive level that you've done. Because I was curious, why did you call it research and development comprehensive?
No. That's just, I'm saying a research development arm, but it's actually the National Comprehensive Foreclosure Disaster Relief Plan.
Okay, so the research and development arm of the...
I know I just call myself, you know, or call our group that because
okay.
we've been working out the system following that plan.
Okay. The only thing I can say is, and reading that statement was that you, I think that, Henry, I absolutely agree on grassroots. You know, like you said, President Obama really gave us a blueprint on how to build success. But keep in mind, he also dealt with the businesses and business owners
right.
as well,
mm-hmm.
and raising, you know, the awareness. We really have a very small window of time because I think you said, Ann, that that Barack Obama is asking that how many days after he
15 days after he gets in, 15 days.
So we have a very small window of time, and a lot of people do not understand that this, as of November 4th, the time started ticking right then and there. I think everybody that has been a part of our show sees that those restraints. But it's not about just getting to Congress. The one thing that I know is that like when people become aware of answers, you raise a consciousness of people. That changes our entire movement. And so it's almost like McDonald's, for instance. You know, I guess they've been experimenting around the world, McDonald's versus Burger King. Well, I don't care what part of the world I think they went to, you know, after they was able to sample what McDonald's were, they were able to compare. Well, now a lot of people have been able to sample what poverty looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a comparison. So I believe that, I keep reading this thing, restore homes, restore lives, restore hope. You know, we should be, you know, I see that you guys are dedicated to working to stop foreclosure, but I think it's a little, we have to stand inside the actual program itself and not just look at foreclosure, but I like what you did. It was just you deal with folks who have different challenges. To leading up to foreclosure, and you deal with people after they have survived the foreclosure measuring. 'Cause
that's correct.
And that system is something that you don't typically see. And we really just need to provide a better vehicle. When you have one senator who understands that you're doing this, that's a great feat. Are you
mm-hmm.
able to say which senator it was?
Yes, it's Saxby Chambliss and his chief of staff, Charlie Harmon.
Okay. So he is throwing punches out there then.
Yes, and I would very much like I had been given my brain goes blank when it comes to names. But it was I don't see Republican or Democrat. This is a bipartisan or nonpartisan thing. But
it's a we thing. We all in this one together.
Yeah. So there was another person that we were actually Tom Price, the Congressman Tom Price said for us to go to, and I can't remember, but it was his counterpart. Who's the Democratic counterpart? My brain is completely blank. But anyway, and it was, and so you, look at what happened. The Republican was saying, here, go to that Democrat.
Because it's a we problem. It's not
mm-hmm.
just it has no face, it has no creed, no color. This thing has become a devastating blow to the infrastructure of our community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really feel like a lot of people are just looking for answers. There's a lot of folks that have called just looking for answers outside of, you know, Christmas. Now that Christmas is gone, now they need to really focus on what's really important. To me, shelter is the most important thing. I tell people all the time, you know, I'd rather walk. I'd rather not have a car. I'd rather not have any food. My mother always says, as long as you got a roof over your head, baby, you all
right. That's right.
So,
and strangely enough, you don't see people killing themselves over lack of food or,
yeah.
or say...
Absolutely. I can also say something my mother always told me. She said that, baby, your stomach don't know what it's eating. What you do is just you put it in there, you put something in there, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very wise mother.
She's wise.
That's great. I've learned that the most important things in life are just your self-preservation and how you measure yourself. I'm not trying to hold you up any longer unless you wanted to just go into a little more defining part about you say you offer 24-hour availability of trained counselors who minister, I like that word, and collect information.
Well, many times, and when somebody's in a paralysis state, which all of them are when they reach us, we will listen to a little bit, but maybe 2 minutes, but then we say, okay, we're going to get started. Because when you get somebody focused on something to create solutions for themselves, that empowers them and it gets them off the track of going off the deep end.
Yep.
And it gets them back on the track of going straight. So you find that our counseling is very proactive. And we get them started filling out paperwork, and we guide them through, and we instruct them what to do, and it's very quick. And then we always establish a follow-up call because somebody, you know, once you get off the phone, they're excited and they're hopeful and everything, but then once life starts coming crashing back in on them.
Mm-hmm.
So then we always establish a follow-up call. I call them on the dot because if I don't, they're waiting on the line, and they think we've disappointed them. Then we follow up with that. They start sending paperwork in. We build the file. We make sure it's complete. The lenders like us because we are providing complete. We don't send anything into the lenders until we have a plan, a strategy, and a complete package. Then we send the information in, but that person can feel comfortable that everything is done. But most importantly, mm-hmm. that this is different from anything else that is being done in this nation, is that we write the letter for them. So in other words, Karima, if you were my counselor, I call you, you'd say, Ann, okay, let's get started. What's your loan number? And then I say, I'm writing to state specifically my sincere desire to work with, and I say, who's your lender? To arrive at, and I follow a format,
mm-hmm.
but I listened, I said, now what happened after that date? And I word it for them. So they're not left to their own, well, what am I supposed to say in the hardship letter? What is the format? What is the lender going to look at? We know what the lender looks like. So we can do this, and we spend 1 hour with them. Then right before the hour's over, we finish the letter. The last part of the letter is what is being done to resolve. Now, the banks, all the banks care about is what happened that caused you to get behind, and what are you going to do to resolve it? So then we craft a resolution. We ask the bank what we don't leave it to them to come back to us. We ask the bank what we want to have happen. Now, we don't always get that, but we're at least on the right track.
Exactly.
Then I read the letter back to them. Now, what does that do? That does one thing. It acknowledges to them that I've listened to them, and at the very end, they go, and some of them start to cry. Because they see that it's a comprehensive letter that we have written for them on their behalf. And we've listened to their hardship, and we've told them what the resolution is going to be. It is the most miraculous thing, because at the end, they're like, okay, what else do we need to do? And it's like they pop out of that paralysis.
The will to move forward.
Yes.
That is ministry. It is absolutely ministry. I love it. I was just reading you. I mean, the track progress into closure, and then bringing community together to offer support, counsel, and service to restore hope. That is the more that I wrap myself around this, because you know we've been on some very strenuous deadlines the last 10 days. And the more that I read this, I find that there's some commonality to what we do as a coalition. And I used to tell people, you know, you really bring me. You really encourage me. And I said, I don't bring encourage. I don't encourage. I bring courage.
Mhm.
And that makes a big difference in being able to put a shield around somebody and empower them. And I feel that I guess the foreclosure disempowers them and brings them to a point of vulnerability. And then when you read something back to a person like that, they go, that's what I've been trying to say. That's what I would have loved to say if I wasn't stuck to my paralysis. I want to welcome our Southeastern Regional Chair, Director, Chairman of the Board, I'm sorry, Executive Board, Ms. Christine Hearn. Hello, Ms. Hearn.
Good evening, Karima. How are you doing, and panelists? Good evening.
Good evening.
And I have a question. I just came in on the tail end of it. What are the types of hardship plans that you provide for the clients and to the bank? What are the types of hardship plans?
Well, everybody is different. So let's say that there's a job loss. Then I'm going to almost always ask for a forbearance, which is a stay, a temporary stay. That could be 1 or 2 months. And in the meantime, I'm also helping them with job placement, meaning writing their resume and creating a job placement strategy for them. I'll be saying that. I'll tell the bank that we're working on job placement. The other thing is, let's say that somebody's on a commission structure or they've had a reduced salary for a certain amount of time. Gosh, Verizon's done that. There's some truck drivers that have done that. I mean, I've seen it all over the board where salaries have fluctuated. So then I will say that we can pay back the shortage of payments this way. In other words, if we don't give them how we can pay it back, then the bank or the investor is going to come back and they're going to give what they want. Now, what are they going to want? They're going to want their $8,000 in 3 months. Well, that's impossible because they're doing what they want to do. Whereas if we show a plan to repay them according to what can be done, what is rational, and it's called a long term. If you read these articles from USA Today, et cetera, most of those restructurings that you hear in the news are all they're repayments, and repayments cannot be sustained. So your loan modifications, really the restructuring and the proposal of the restructuring is most important, because what you want to do is arrive at something that is sustainable. Otherwise, you're going back in. So not only are you getting calls from primary, for the first-time callers, you're getting calls from they couldn't sustain the first modification or repayment plan, so then they're going back in and asking for – and so then that overloads the system even more. So you've got your lenders will come back with repayment options, which are just not sustainable. They'll come back with restructuring, and restructuring can be lower interest rates. You can restructure and put the balances at the end of the loan, and then you can take it from like whatever's remaining in the loan. You can take that out to 30 years, back out to 30 years to spread it out a little bit. You can forgive some past due payments or penalties. There's all ways of, so it depends on the situation, really. I hope that answered your question. Then, your other foreclosure prevention is sale of a house. Well, you have to manage that, too, because I've seen lenders, if you don't manage that and you don't have an agreement with the lender to sell the house and they give you a certain amount of time, 3 to 6 months to sell the house, and you don't sign that agreement, they throw it into the foreclosure process. So loan restructuring, loan modification, forbearance, all of that, and refinancing, all of that is a tier one approach. But then you have foreclosure prevention is not just loan restructuring and refinancing and modification. It is also house sale. And foreclosure prevention is absolutely necessary because what happens, and this is the misinformation that's out there. People say, well, I'm just going to leave the keys at the door. Well, what they don't realize is that they have just caused themselves a 10-year sentence when they could have prevented the foreclosure. Because what does foreclosure do? It does not allow you to get another job in many cases because now employers with the excess supply of demand and little supply of jobs, they are pulling credit reports and they're finding out if somebody has a bankruptcy or a foreclosure on it. If they do, they will not hire. Many of them will not hire. Okay, so now you've created a set of another life circumstances that you didn't even know about. So what really gets in my craw is, a lot of, and Henry and I can say this, that, and my father's also a former attorney, so, I come from that field. But some, attorneys are pushing bankruptcy. Well, what does bankruptcy do? Bankruptcy, although you can get a loan faster, if you've been in a bankruptcy, you can, still your foreclosure and your bankruptcy is asked on every single application. What if you have to go rent an apartment? Guess what they ask for? Have you had a foreclosure? Have you had a bankruptcy?
So, Ann, you're saying your foreclosure affects you getting a job, too?
Yes, ma'am. I had a lady the other day I was helping, and that was a referral from Senator Chambliss. Do you know that she was on her job, she's been in a job, and it was something in credit area, and she had a good job, and they told her, if you go into foreclosure, if you allow your house to foreclose, you've lost your job. She was currently employed, and she would have been fired.
And what relief will we get? We're constantly going down. Here you lose your house, you're in foreclosure, you can't get a job, you have no money. So what relief is out there? How are we going
to get it? Bottom line is to follow this National Comprehensive Foreclosure Disaster Relief Plan that's flowcharted out. We have all the components. The legislators and the nation's leaders need to put the components together in a systemized plan. And because this worked, we stopped 100% of the foreclosures.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
So there is no retroactive for having the people who have already gone through foreclosure then.
So those who have gone through foreclosure, if they've lost their jobs, they can't get another job.
Well, in many cases. And see, that's what people aren't telling anybody. Or bankruptcy attorneys that are pushing because they want, bankruptcy. Yes. The other thing that they don't realize is bankruptcy also only is a temporary stay for a couple of months. And the bank will come back at them. So now they've spent the money on a bankruptcy, created a 10-year bankruptcy on their record, and the bank is still going to get their house.
Oh, wow.
So is that half for the credit score? Here you got bankruptcy, you got foreclosure. How do you get your credit score up then in order
that's a different subject. We're only in the foreclosure prevention field, but there are ways, but that's a whole different, that's another subject, Karima, credit is another whole different arena. There are classes on that.
Mm-hmm. So we're obviously in a time that it's almost like you're messed up one way or the other.
Yes, unless you concentrate on foreclosure prevention. And guess what? The Federal Reserve Bank, they got so I don't know what happened, but they shifted their focus from the pre-foreclosure efforts to the post-foreclosure. So they're not even concentrated. I had talked originally to the vice president of the Federal Reserve Bank twice. I was over there. But they were like, don't talk to us about pre-foreclosure prevention because we've got too many foreclosed houses on our hands. So they just completely stopped helping.
Wow.
They say go to the Hope Now Alliance. And, you weren't on the line, but Hope Now Alliance is not the only it's not a comprehensive solution.
I'm almost depressed.
I'm sorry. Well, that's why we need to educate on how to prevent, because if we can prevent 100% of them, then other people can do it. So it's just a matter of getting it on a national level and being followed and executed from a national level.
But it seems to be a no-win situation because jobs are folding, and if you have no job, you can't pay a mortgage.
Right, but the thing is, remember Obama was saying, we're going to help with job placement. There is no reason why there cannot be an entity created, just like the case management system. Everything needs to be in a case management system because that is the only way you're going to follow up and each operative be accountable. So the Veterans Administration, we took the veteran to the Veterans Administration. He was assigned somebody, that veteran that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We say so he got medical benefits. We got him working again. We got him job placement assistance. He started working again. He stayed in his house. He wrote us a letter and he said, "You will never know how much you've helped us. Thank you for saving my dignity, my home, and quite possibly my life. Never give up." You would not believe the people come back, turn around, and start encouraging us.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see the see that's why we have as a nation we've got to care about all components and follow a system.
Yes.
And that's what we were talking about earlier. The coalition, just to plug us in there for just a second. People wanted to know why we moved so quickly to, I guess, a different momentum. When you utilize the infrastructure. When you utilize the infrastructure of any system, you're not making waves. You're not
mm-hmm.
you're not reinventing the wheel. You know, you're just applying yourself, applying the actual logic, because the system, I think the system is not completely broke. I think the people who got inside the system broke it. You know, it's just like being a little kid. You know, the toy was working when we gave it to you. 15 minutes into Christmas, it's broke. And the first thing you holler is, it's broke. No, you broke it. So it takes somebody to break the system, pretty much is what I'm saying. And I think that, you know, this is, you know, after tomorrow, we will really look at launching a campaign up under this TRIM campaign, because this is key. This is key to the survival of people critically who've been wounded in this battle. Because we're at war with, I don't know who, we can't point the finger, because everybody has something to do with it, even though you might.
Well, we're at war and trying to survive. And this, we haven't had anything like what we have now with this economy in the last 40, 50 years. It haven't been this bad. So.
Right.
Okay. Caller from 404-554. Do you have any comments? Okay. Caller from 651-233. All right. And caller from 646. Oh, they jumped up. I'm sorry.
Hi, Karima.
How are you doing, young lady?
Okay.
Okay.
Young lady. I like that.
Yeah,
yeah. I am getting younger and you are getting older.
Very
yeah.
good. Very good. So, any comments about what this is, you know, the climate that's in Minnesota that you guys are experiencing? I think this would be a great vehicle in Minnesota as well. When we talked about the foreclosures last week. Go ahead. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, can I say something to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
The two callers that are on the phone that's with us every day is the national chair and the national president. And I swear to God, on everything, we do our conference calls on Saturdays. And I can tell you there is no dead space at all. I am not even talking on the phone. You're talking to two women who can talk 15 minutes straight without taking a breath. And they get on this show each week and don't say a word except for a few things. I'm proud of the caller from 219. Very good. We just need to work that 651 caller. I just thought I might say that on this show.
Or
thank
just you. Put me on the spot.
Absolutely.
Okay. I love you too.
I read your resume, and it's not like you don't have a multitude of degrees. I don't even understand. I really, you know, I enjoy being the host of the show, but this show is for everyone. I'm not a moderator. I'm just an estimator.
I keep telling everybody that. I think Ann said, no, you're this and you're that, and I tell you, I do estimating better than I do anything else. I want to welcome the caller from 818.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, how you doing, sir?
I'm all right. This is Mario.
Okay, Mario. We have Ann on the phone as well.
Hello, Ann.
Hi, Mario.
I definitely I was listening to the show to kind of like just get a concept of how to put everything together as far as a video concept. And there's so much information. I hope we can really compress it into 3 minutes. But there is a lot of information, and I think more so than anything else that needs to be captured is your spirit. You know what I mean? Your determination, just your will and your soul to really get out there with a strong, proficient plan to help.
Well, I'm coachable.
Good. And, go ahead.
I wanted to share one little information with you guys. Presently, we have snow, and it's been snowing all day long. I'm in Indiana. We have about 12 inches of snow.
And that's our weather report for the show. Thank you so kindly. I think we're supposed to have sympathy, you guys, the folks who live down here in the South. I say absolutely, show no mercy. Show no mercy for our callers that are in the 646 area code and our callers from 651 and our callers.
Oh, you know I'm freezing.
219. we really don't really care to hear about y'all problems. And you know y'all ain't got no business being up there, so you know the South is here for you. I just wanted to share that. I'm wondering, do they put people out? Are folks losing their houses in all this snow? They got to get to them first to put them out, don't they?
Yes.
But they're losing them. They are losing their houses.
But if we don't put information out there, how we can get free interventionists? Ken is describing, so how we get it out there? We talk about national level, but how about on the local level? How are we going to get the information out there that Ann is available to help you?
Well, like I said, the we're doing it by referral only. We cannot handle the masses. That's why it's so important for us to communicate this to our nation's leaders. So
where do the referrals come from? How does that system work?
But you got the churches there that you can contact the churches. Here, Eddie Long sent me an email. You got churches out here that can let the people know they go to churches. This is a good place to start in the community.
Well, it is, but I think most importantly is that we post everything on the website so that they can read, and they have currently the phone number and the email address, and then we'll take by referral, and then concurrently, we keep moving towards Washington, D.C.
Now, again, if you can just clarify, what does by referral mean?
That you would either call with someone to, because a lot of times they're shy, they're scared, whatever. So we have many times they'll call with another person on the line and just introduce us. The other is that you give them our phone number, and then we take it from there.
Okay, that's the number you gave us, 404?
Yes, or you give me the phone number, get permission by the person, and then you give me their phone number after you receive permission, and then I'll call them.
So if we brought this into a policy, into a reform level, are you saying that you want this to be in a legislative arm, an executive legislative? Are you looking, I mean, because basically you only can take so many people. Are
right.
you willing to now go to the next level and provide a massive amount of individuals who will work with you because what's gonna happen is when you produce a volume of people, that's what I'm saying. If
right.
you're implicating this in 20 in how many states we got? I would say 27 because we're in 27, but 50 states, right? Is being able to set up these campaigns or this research development arm on this national comprehensive foreclosure.
Well, already you have one operating. There, it's broken, but you already have a centralized system, and that's the Hope Now Alliance. Now, the Hope Now Alliance, as we've discussed, is not comprehensive, but you already have a central operation. So
okay.
what we would propose is to set, it's really not legislative per se. What the Attorney General said and what I read from his letter,
mm-hmm.
that is legislative on the noncompliance piece. But
okay.
what we do is we establish the intake, the upfront portion, which we could take part of the counselors from the Hope Now Alliance and create the intake for that, and then send the case. So create a case minute structure surrounding a structure that we already have. We just fix it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, ladies, believe it or not, these 90 minutes go absolutely quickly, and we have about 3 minutes left in the show, and I always like to tell people to please let us get your information. I'm going to start from Henrietta. Could you please let everybody know how to contact you on your website?
Karima, I'd like to ask another question before we go there. And it's talking about foreclosure. I talk about credit ratings. Does she also deal in that aspect of it, too? Because if so, then I'd like to hear more about that.
Yes, that's actually another call, I can do it. I've got some information that's actually extremely helpful
okay.
to read, just basic stuff, and then I go into specifics with people.
Okay, ladies. And, again, the show's about to end in about 2 minutes, and please, Henrietta, could you let everybody know your website and how to contact you?
Okay, well, it's best to get me by phone at 646-322-3987.
Mm-hmm.
I will be relocating from New York to Atlanta at the end of the month, and so...
Good.
And I'm going to be, you know, I will be on all of the calls. I really appreciate this, Karima.
Okay, and caller from 404-554, welcome, and thank you for tuning in today.
Yeah, I was here, and you asked me if I had a question, and I made a mistake and hung up, so I had to dial back in.
Okay,
but,
we're going to have to close this out for today, and
okay.
we got 1 minute left. Caller from 219, you have a website?
Yes, my website is www.youpreventbiz.com.
Yep. And caller from 404-587, you have an email
yeah.
address for somebody to contact you at?
Email address is cjharnecost@bellsouth.net.
Caller from 651. Janor. Okay. Well, anyway, ladies,
Hello. Yes. My website is www.ceiservice.com.
Thank you. Everybody, thank you for tuning in, and God bless everybody, and please feel free to reach our site at info@ccc.org, and thanks everybody, and have a
wonderful
and blessed. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Good week. Finally, I found somebody who is right for me. You knew my worth and you would never treat me like a piece or an empty tree that you'd never want. And finally, I found somebody who fit perfectly. You're everything that I dreamed you'd be. And I'll be what you need, cause I'm playing for keeps, baby. I don't wanna lose your love. You make me smile. I can see my life through your eyes.
let it out slowly, please. If it's a dream, don't pinch me, baby. Could you let me sleep?